Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome in to Send It In. Yeah, it's still not PJ Glasser. It's still me. And I mean, what were they going to do? Kick me off the show after we gave out a Juan Soto home run banger to go into the weekend? Come on. PJ Glasser's never coming back. Okay? He's gone. It's over. This is my show now. PJ Glasser is never to be heard from again. I hope he's having a wonderful vacation gallivanting across Texas. I think he's still doing that. I don't know. But in the meantime, it will be me here with you on Send It In on the BetMGM network. You can find us. You can find me for the next 48 hours. Because after Wednesday, I go on vacation. It's my turn. I don't know. Figure it out. Sean's hosting. But anyway, I digress. I'll be here at the BetMGM Network, Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, where you can find us. This show, Daily Tip, Bet Sweats, You Better You Bet, BetMGM Tonight, our litany of weekend programming. That is all can be found at the BetMGM Network on Twitter, on YouTube, and on Twitch, where you can also interact with the show. You can send in, as it were, wordplay unintended, your questions, your comments, your bets, anything that is on your mind, how your weekend is. I moved. It was horrible because moving is the worst, but we don't have to get into that. That's not why you're here. You can utilize that chat box function on Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter to interact with the show and send in anything that is on your mind, anything that you are betting today. And if you bet USA draw last night, like some of us, come revel in the glory of Team USA men's team being awful. Send all of those in. We'll get to those, your questions, your comments, your bets. And just a little bit here. There are no guests today. It's just me. 30 minutes. We're just shooting from the hip here. Except we're not, because there's a rundown that Sean meticulously put together, for which I very much appreciate him doing. We will have guests later in the week to get you ready for Wimbledon, to have NBA free agency, post free agency crash outs. If we want, we have more guests for the NBA, for tennis, for everything. But for now, for today, it is just going to be me. And part of the reason that it's just going to be me is because we have a packed show, starting with the breaking news that we got 3 hours ago or so. We are on the news wire. The NFL, as we all know, never stops. And it is a year-round process. And as such, we did have breaking news today with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are acquiring Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith from Miami in exchange for Minkah Fitzpatrick and a 2027 fifth rounder. Those get sent, that he and that get sent to Miami in exchange, as I said, for Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith and a 2027 seventh rounder. This is interesting for a couple of reasons, and we'll start with the Steelers side of this, where they're really going for it. I give them credit. Obviously, they bring in Aaron Rodgers after a very extended offseason of will they, won't they, even though we all knew that they would, and that was inevitable. But that comes to fruition. The Steelers, of course, also acquire DK Metcalf and sign him to a deal. They ship out George Pickens. He goes to Dallas. So the Steelers kind of reshaping what this is going to look like. And also, by the way, we're still waiting to hear about news and extension for TJ Watt, which multiple sources are reporting expect to make him the highest paid edge rusher in the NFL. I think we're all pretty confident that that's going to get done, and the Steelers are going to do what they can to keep their best player happy. Kind of seems like something that they're going to get done sooner rather than later. But now, I mean, the Steelers defense looks pretty good in the secondary because they add Jalen Ramsey to Darius Slay, Joey Porter, that the aforementioned TJ Watt. So I think the Steelers, obviously their identity for most of their time, or at least the last generation or so, Mike Tomlin's tenure, let's call it that, has mostly been known for their defense. And of course, as we know, Mike Tomlin never had a losing season, famously. You may have heard that a couple times or a couple hundred times over the last couple of years. So now, theoretically, the Steelers have a quarterback. And say what you will about Aaron Rodgers, he's better than Mason Rudolph. He's better than Mitchell Trubisky. He's better than Kenny Pickett. Think we can all agree on that, right? Not saying that Aaron Rodgers is going to be an MVP winner anymore. The guy's over 40. He's coming off an Achilles injury from a couple of years ago. Obviously, this is not going to look like Green Bay Aaron Rodgers. But I don't think it's going to look like New York Jets Aaron Rodgers either. I mean, we started to see it at maybe the second half of last year, where he still had the deep ball. He still had the accuracy. It's just he was on a horrendous team. So I think now going to a more stable situation with the Steelers, you could see Aaron Rodgers play a little bit better here and look at least average. And I think at least average is going to get the Steelers probably 10 wins and into the playoffs. So I'm not saying that I'm interested in the Steelers 40-1 to win the Super Bowl. And I'm not even interested really in them to win the AFC at 20-1, but you could talk me into the division at +550. To make the playoffs at +140? Yeah. Over 8.5 at plus money? Yes. And I know Jalen Ramsey is not the guy that he was even 3 years ago. He's also in the back half of his career. But he's still pretty good. He's still got, 24 interceptions in his career? And the Steelers clearly see something with him. And for me, this is more about Jonnu Smith, who really broke out last year for Miami and had a career year, hence why he wasn't showing up to Dolphins practices because he wanted a new contract. And Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator for the Steelers, has history with Jonnu Smith. Arthur Smith was the tight ends coach and on the offensive staff in Tennessee, where Smith started his career, traded for Jonnu Smith when he was the head coach in Atlanta, and now brings him along to Pittsburgh with Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf. That gives you two legitimate threats. You can make the argument that Jonnu Smith was the best offensive weapon on the Dolphins last year. So I think the Steelers are really interesting, and yeah, they're in a tough division with the Bengals and the Ravens, but if this Bengals thing falls apart, or if they, again, can't stop anybody on defense, and maybe the Ravens hit a speed bump, somebody gets hurt, whatever, it doesn't have to go perfectly. I think the Steelers are really interesting. I'm definitely interested in them to make the playoffs at +140 because I think that they can definitely sneak into a wild card. They don't even have to win the division there. And I definitely like the win total over for the Steelers. 8.5 with a head coach who's never had a losing season, famously. Just saying. Now for the Dolphins side of this. I think this could be a disaster in short order for the Dolphins. Mike McDaniel, I think we're starting to sour on as this guy who was the offensive genius. He was the sexiest coach in the league, literally and figuratively. And now kind of some of the shines come off this guy. It's not cutesy when he's running away from the cameraman to get into the tunnel. He's got all his little jokes, but they don't seem to be hitting as much because, the Dolphins are losing games. They're one Tua injury away from Zach Wilson starting games. Does anyone remember how that went in New York? I'll tell you. He's on his third team in 3 years. That's how it went. So if there's one Tua injury, I think the Dolphins might be cooked. 25-1 for the fewest wins in the league. Let's say Mike McDaniel gets fired midway through the year. There might be an interim there. Tua gets hurt. Zach Wilson starting the majority of games. Interim head coach Tyreek Hill starts holding out or demands a trade. This could really fall apart for the Dolphins, and I know they're in an easy division with the Jets and the Patriots on trying to do their rebuild, and the Bills are the Bills, of course, but everything else in that division is just very at best. But still, like this is like when you're looking at teams when you're trying to bet fewest wins or worst record or however you want to word it, you have to look at a situation where the bottom could completely fall out. And I think you see that with the Dolphins, where the bottom could absolutely fall out. Tua gets hurt. McDaniel gets fired. Tyreek demands a trade. They're already selling off pieces. They're still trying to replace their entire secondary. Fitzpatrick is the first piece of that. They still need two starting corners and a starting safety. So it's not awesome. Yeah, Devin Achane's awesome. Raheem Mostert's still got a little bit of juice. You're going to run the ball 35 times a game and hope that Tua stays healthy? I just don't think that that is sustainable for the Dolphins, and I really think that this could get into true bottom-out, bottom-falls-out tankathon situation. What if Tua gets hurt and then you have 10 games left? Hey, you know who's coming up in the next draft? A guy by the name of Arch Manning. Maybe seems like a guy that an ownership that is famously a little trigger happy might be interested in bringing in with a whole new regime, new head coach, new quarterback. Just something to think about going forward. 25-1 for the Dolphins to have the fewest wins. Their win total under 6.5, also at plus money. I think that is pretty interesting. Dolphins know to make the playoffs minus 200. So obviously no hashtag value on that one. But that's the NFL news that we're getting you cut off on. That is the biggest piece of news of the day. I mean, it's Monday, June 30th, so not a whole lot of other news other than results to get into. Unless you want to hear me wax poetic about Shohei Ohtani throwing 102. Nobody wants that. We leave that to Ben Verlander. Onward, though, into baseball, because I do have something that we have for you today. And we are going, not we, me. We, but inverted, upside down. I don't know. But me. And what I'm going to do is rank my top 10 teams in baseball. Sean brought this idea to me last week. He said, hey, we've done this before. It's a Monday. It's the middle of summer. There's not a lot to do. Hey, Jake, you like baseball? Yes, Sean, famously I do. And I am making this conversation up. But for our listeners and viewers, they don't know that. I digress. But I think it's a good idea. And there's not a lot to talk about. And it's going to be a lot of fun for me. Sean, I don't know if you have a graphic for this or not, but I'm going to go 10-1. I'm sure you could have induced that on your own. But just in case. Also, love you. By the way, Sean, he's the best. Great. Let's get into it. My top 10 teams in Major League Baseball. And I'm going to start with number 10 with the San Francisco Giants. I still think that this team has the juice. I know it hasn't looked great since Rafi Devers got there, but for eventually, once they adjust, it's only been 2 weeks. And they're still firmly in the playoff picture because right now the Giants sitting at 45-39, they're a game and a half out of the wild card. And it's a crowded National League race. I get it. And they're probably not going to win the division because the Dodgers are finally starting to look like the team that we thought they were. They're 53-32. They have a 7-game lead over the Giants and the Padres and that one. But I still think that this Giants team, and for me, it's mostly about Logan Webb and Robbie Ray being at the top there. You need two legitimate starters, two legitimate aces, if you want to win a World Series. You want to make a run in the playoffs, and yeah, you could pull a Guardians or a Tigers and have one supreme ace like Tarik Skubal and then patchwork the rest together, but look how that went for those teams. They fell short. Look at the Yankees and the Dodgers. Gerrit Cole, Carlos Rodon, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Clayton Kershaw, if you want to include him in that, but Tyler Glasnow was there as well. Jack Flaherty was there for the Dodgers. You need a strong pitching staff. The Giants' bullpen is very good. They have a lot of high leverage arms and they have two legitimate aces at the top. And I don't think Buster Posey's done. So once this lineup, assimilates to Rafi Devers being in that lineup every day and being the star, him, Matt Chapman, Jung-Hoon Lee, Helly Ramos, Willy Adames, I think that could really work for the Giants going forward. So they slot in as my number 10 team, slightly above them. And this is going to make some people angry, but they are leading their division. They do still look like a playoff team, but I'm going the Chicago Cubs up there at number 9 because that lineup can absolutely mash. No two ways about it. Kyle Tucker is finally starting to look a little bit more like himself. He's hit a lull here in the midseason, but he looks better. Seiya Suzuki's been unbelievable. And Seiya Suzuki, quick sidebar, is always, I think, just going to be one of those guys where people look at it, 100-1 for MVP. Look at him when he gets hot. I think he's a perennial all-star. No knocks against Seiya Suzuki, and he could carry you for a couple weeks, but he's just always going to be like on that cut, like just on the very fringe of being a true MVP, in my estimation. And you don't have to agree with me. If you think I'm an idiot, tell me I'm an idiot. And most people do. Get in the comment section at the BetMGM Network, Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter, and you can tell me I'm an idiot or that you disagree or that you agree in a far more unlikely scenario. And we'll talk about it. You can send all of your comments in through the chat in Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, at the BetMGM Network. Coming in at number eight is a team that was the sexy team. They were the fun team. Everybody wanted to jump on the bandwagon because they made the big signing. And I do still think that they're a good team and they're going to be aggressive at the deadline for sure. 1,000%. But I'm putting in the New York Mets. And well, Jake, you've gone three straight, you know, National League teams. What? When are you going to get to the American League? I'll get to the American League. You'll be very happy with the number one team. Don't worry. But the Mets, I think they have some warts. Obviously, the pitching is an issue. They need Kodai Senga to stay healthy. Griffin Canning just popped his Achilles like a balloon the other day. But the Mets are going to be aggressive. We know this about them. Juan Soto is second in the MVP odds. Now it's 30-1 because Shohei Ohtani's a minus 2,100 favorite. But Juan Soto finally starting to look like the guy that they signed up for. And yes, the Mets have ceded the division lead back to the Phillies. And spoiler alert, I do like the Phillies a lot. But I still think this Mets team has the juice because when Alonso and Soto and Lindor are all clicking at once, that's going to be a problem. And you pair Senga with a Sandy Alcantara, a Dylan Cease, a whoever. Pick your favorite starter that's going to be on the market. And there's not going to be a ton of them, but pick your favorite. Maybe Seth Lugo makes his return to the Mets. But you pair somebody with Kodai Senga, then you have a 1-2 punch at the top of the rotation, and then you have a lineup that can absolutely wallop anybody. So the Mets come in for me at number eight. Number seven, this pains me a little bit because I do think that they're very average, but I'm going to give them their flowers where it's due. I'm going the Mariners because they still have that godlike rotation. And while Kirby figures it out off this shoulder injury, Logan Gilbert's back. Luis Castillo is still as steady as they come. I think Emerson Hancock has figured something out. Bryce Miller will be back from injury. And you guys know I really like him. And oh, by the way, the big dumper is there. This guy's going to finish second in MVP voting, but he's going to hit 60 home runs. Cal Raleigh is having one of the best, if not the best, offensive season by a catcher that we've seen. And so once you start getting any signs of life from Julio Rodriguez, Randy Arozarena, Jorge Polanco is due for some positive regression a little bit. And you know how much Jerry DePoto likes to be an insane person on the trade market. So you think they're not going to trade one of these arms to get some offensive help? They did it last year with Arozarena. I think that's something that we can get into in just a little bit. But I think the Mariners are very interesting, and I do think that they have some juice going forward. Coming in at number six, I'm staying in the AL, but we're going to the opposite coast. I'm going Tampa Bay. They have played really, really good baseball as of late. They've played awesome, and the rotation was always going to be good because you had Drew Rasmussen, who I think is criminally underrated. You have Ryan Pepiot, who was the crux of the Tyler Glasnow deal just a couple of years ago, and he started to look like a guy that can maybe even win a future Cy Young Award. Hint, hint, wink, wink, I'm going to be interested in Ryan Pepiot next year for Cy Young. But for the here and now, this team is awesome. Shane Baz is a great number three. Zach Littell's fine, but he's a four. You don't need him to be anything special. The Rays always pluck random relievers off the street that are just nails them. Junior Caminero has started to look like a guy with all-star MVP upside. Brent Lau is, short-circuited my brain there for a second. He's always good for a clutch home run. He started hitting home runs again for the Rays. And again, that's another team that is going to pull somebody off the street and they're going to give you like three wins above replacement. It's going to be some random utility player, but he's just going to be good because that's what the Rays do. Yandy Diaz is still extremely consistent for them. And oh, by the way, they have one of the best managers heading the thing with Kevin Cash. Are the Rays without their warts? No, their offense can get stuck sometimes, but I think that this is what they do. You count them out and they just go on and they win 90 games. Like, that's just what they do. So I think that the Rays are going to be a real threat come the postseason as well. And I think that you cannot count them out because especially if they go against a team like Cleveland, if they sneak in, or if they go against a team, you know, like the Mariners, that doesn't always have the most offensive firepower and you get into a pitcher's duel, I think that's going to be a real issue for some other poor team there in the American League once we get to the playoffs. Coming in at number five, the New York Yankees. And yeah, it's part of my shtick to hate the Yankees, but you can only hate them so much when they have the guy that's far and away going to win the MVP award. I mean, Aaron Judge, it's like Cal Raleigh, for as good as he's been, Aaron Judge is going to hit 350. He's going to hit 50 home runs, and he's going to win in a landslide. Here's your compensation, Cal Raleigh. Congrats on your second place finish. It's now the Aaron Judge Award. Now, again, like most teams in this list, the Yankees have their warts. Still haven't seen a pitch from Luis Gil. Gerrit Cole, still haven't seen him pitch. He's going to miss the year, famously. Carlos Rodon's going to be your one. Will Warren's going to be your two. It's a little scary to me. Now, thankfully for them, they have an elite closer in Luke Weaver at the back end, and Devin Williams has finally started to look like the guy they thought they were getting from Milwaukee, and the lineup is good. The lineup's great, but we've seen it even recently. When Judge isn't on, this team can struggle, and when he's not carrying the load offensively, it's okay, Anthony Volpe. Okay, Jazz Chisholm. They're great supplemental players, but they're not Juan Soto. They're not the other star. So you're putting a lot on Judge's back, and for the most part, he can handle it. We've seen it. But I think when you're missing at least a starter, probably two, and the offense can disappear sometimes, that worries me when it comes to the New York Yankees. Coming in at number four, the San Diego Padres. And this is just a star power play. Arias, Nando, Machado. It's pretty awesome. Merrill, Cronenworth. Now, they also have issues in the rotation, but the reason that I give the Padres the bump over the Yankees is I have way more confidence in Mike Schilt figuring things out than I do Aaron Boone. There's a pretty big discrepancy there as far as managerial talent and how they can captain team. Oh, but Jake, Aaron Boone made it to the World Series. Did Aaron Boone make it to the World Series, or did Juan Soto and Aaron Judge make it to the World Series? A real question for everyone here. Group exercise. As far as this goes, I think that the Padres too, AJ Preller's feeling the heat. It's been many years of just division series losses for the Padres. At a certain point, that seat's going to be pretty warm for him. So I like the Padres. They're in at number four for me. I'm sure once we get to the playoffs, we're going to do what we always do, what we did last year. Everybody's going to fall in love with them. And then Chris Blatt to probably the Dodgers again. But we'll talk about it in October in about 3 months. Number three, a team that I don't think anybody is surprised that they are where they are in the standings, but it was looking dicey there for a little bit. The Houston Astros have taken charge, and they are now at 50-34. They're atop the AL West by a 6.5 game lead. They've looked great. They have looked like the team of old, and a lot of that, like, credit to Jeremy Peña. When they moved him to the leadoff spot on April 27th, ever since then, he's had like a 950 OPS. He's hitting 337. He's been the star we thought when he won the World Series MVP a couple of years ago. He's been sensational for that team. And Yordan Alvarez is still clearly not healthy, but as he gets healthier and he starts to figure it out, that guy is one of the best pure hitters in baseball. And this Astros team, I like Framber Valdez a ton. I said this to Ken Barkley over the weekend. I think Framber Valdez is just the AL Zach Wheeler, where he's always going to be in the Cy Young conversation, but is just never going to win, unless maybe Zach Wheeler wins this year, but we'll see how that goes because Paul Skeens is still pretty good. Vulnerable, though. We'll talk about that later in the week. But with Framber Valdez leading the way there, and as Lance McCullers starts to kind of shake off the rust from the last couple of years and look like a true number three, number two even upside, I think the Astros, this is what they do. This is what they've done for the last almost decade now. Jose Altuve, while he's declining, you don't need him to be the superstar anymore. He's handed those reins off to other people, and he's done it very, very well. So the Houston Astros at number three. Number two, it has to be the Dodgers. It has to be. It's Shohei. It's Mookie. It's Max Muncy. It's Freddie Freeman. They're the reigning World Series champs. Do I have to say any more? Number two is the Dodgers. Number one is the Tigers. They have been awesome. Look what Tarik Skubal did last night. Tied a career high with 13 strikeouts. They revitalized the careers of Spencer Torkelson and Javier Baez. They look phenomenal. Riley Green is a true star. I think he's one of the more underrated stars in the league. And they're not going to let what happened last year happen to them again, where it's, all right, Tariq Skubal, please save us. And then, I don't know, we'll throw some bleep at the wall and hope it sticks. The Tigers will make a move in the rotation. They'll do something. And they have one of the best, if not the best manager in all baseball, and A.J. Hinch as well. He's the guy that continuously, year after year, gets the best out of his players as well. So the Tigers, and they have the best record in baseball right now. I mean, they're 53-32. They've played like it. I guess they're tied with the Dodgers. The best record tied for in baseball. And that's why, ironically, they're 1-2 in this list. I think the Tigers are going to look at last year and say, we can't let that happen again. We're a better team this year. Let's go make some moves. And I think they will. So the Tigers come in at number one. It's like by a small margin. But so the list, if you're just parachuting in here on Send It In on the BetMGM Network, at the BetMGM Network, by the way, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. Number 10, San Francisco Giants. Number 9, the Chicago Cubs. Number 8, the New York Mets. Number 7, the Seattle Mariners. Number 6, the Tampa Bay Rays. 5, Yankees. 4, Padres. 3, Astros. 2, Dodgers. 1, Tiger. Oh my. Now, we go to your questions. Your comments, your bets. Some would call it a bettor's box. I personally would never do that. B Mills, first up as usual, our regular. He's always here. Appreciate you, B Mills. Mr. Hassan, please. Mr. Hassan is my father. How are you doing today, good sir? I'm doing great, man. Nowhere else I would rather be than with all of you here on Send It In, which I also be here tomorrow on Send It In. I said tomorrow already. Tuesday and Wednesday as well. Reed Phillips. Oh, shoot. I almost forgot. I got caught up listening to Jake rocking the Suburbs Pod Bet Sweats. Yes, I am in exile from the city of Chicago right now. God willing, that is only a short stint. We move on. G-Still 45, are the Jays going to smash Rodon today? I think they might. I the Blue Jays, honestly, were an honorable mention for the top 10. You could have made the case for them to sneak in there. I'm a little. The only reason I didn't, I don't think Max Scherzer and Jose Barrios have the juice long term, but I do think that the Jays could be a look here against the Yankees today. B Mills, I am so conflicted on Logan Webb under 5.5 Ks. I've already taken a small shot on the Diamondbacks money line, but I also really want to take Logan Webb under K since they don't strike out much. Well, the thing is too, you know, Logan Webb has that in his bag where he could just go efficient, where he kind of eschews the strikeouts and just says, all right, I'm going to give you 8 innings on 90 pitches. And that's kind of how he started his career, right? As a contact pitcher. So Logan Webb, I don't think the under is a look. You're a brave man, though, B-Mills, going with the Arizona money line and backing Ryan Nelson. Whew. Brian Giles, hello, Jake. I'm liking Royals plus 140 with Waka going against Kirby. Your thoughts? I'll tell you exactly how I feel about that in a couple minutes. Hint, hint, wink, wink. B-Mills said, also, Jake, what do you think of Jacob Lopez over 5.5 Ks in the ladders and Carlos Rodon under 5.5 Ks against the Jays who don't strike out? If you think that the Jays maybe smash Carlos Rodon today, I do think that that could be a look where you go with his under Ks, and you could pair that even with the Blue Jays on the money line. And that one, as far as Jorge Lopez goes, I never like going against the Rays with strikeouts either, just because inherently they're not a huge strikeout team, but Lopez has been good. If you're more about him, I see the vision there. Reed Phillips is playing St. Louis and Pittsburgh over 9. Phillies on the run line. Ellie De La Cruz home run. Like all of those, I do have a play in Pittsburgh and St. Louis, which we'll get to in a second. Brian Giles says, I like your favorite bet first. I also like your favorite bet. Oh, first 3 under a half Reds, Red Sox. What do you think? Burns and Crochet. I do have a bet in that game, but I do like that look for the first 3 under. B Mills, one last one. Ryan Nelson is lined at 4.5 Ks, but how is he getting to 5 Ks against the Giants? I think he could blow up. I think it's only an under. Let's talk awards. Jim Lucas, we will talk awards tomorrow. I will get to American League Rookie of the Year because I think that is very interesting. And I think both Cy Youngs are still interesting as well. So we will do awards tomorrow. But now, really quick, thank you as always to you guys for all your questions, your comments, your bets. It is much appreciated. As we close it out here, we go to the card. Padres and Phillies. Phillies minus 225, totals 8.5. Matt Waldron, who makes his season debut for the Padres, going against Zach Wheeler. I know a lot of people like this. I like it too. Phillies on the run line. Zach Wheeler continues to shove, continues to be at the forefront with Paul Skeens of the Cy Young Award talk and the race. I think Zach Wheeler could absolutely put Matt Waldron in the dirt here in this one. Cardinals and Pirates, totals at 9. Eric Fetty for the Cardinals, Andrew Haney for the Pirates. I don't know what I'm missing here. I'm taking Cardinals on the money line. The Cardinals are just the better team. I know the Pirates have played better recently, but Andrew Haney's just a dude. And not that Eric Fetty's anything special, but if we're talking upside here, Andrew Haney has regressed to the mean. Eric Fetty's at least a little more consistent. I like the Cardinals on the money line. Yankees and Blue Jays totals at 8.5. Rodon versus Scherzer. I would only play the over here. Scherzer in his second start off the injured list. Also, he's old. Rodon always prone to a blow up. I would only do the over there. Reds and Red Sox total 7.5. Chase Burns versus Garrett Crochet. I like the look for the first three under a half a run. And I like Chase Burns ladders. 6.5, 7.5, 8.5, 9.5. You can get 8-1. On 10 strikeouts for Chase Burns. The Red Sox strike out second most in baseball since they traded Rafi Devers 2 weeks ago. And they were third overall in baseball overall for strikeout rate. I think Chase Burns could absolutely shove today against this Red Sox team. 9 strikeouts is 4-1. 10 is 8-1. Let's climb those ladders, baby, with Chase Burns in his second start. A's and Rays, Jacob Lopez against Drew Rasmussen. Totals at 8. First 5 under for me. Two pitchers that I really like the upside of. I talked about Drew Rasmussen in the top 10 a little bit. I'll go the first 5 under with A's and Rays. Orioles and Rangers, Trevor Rogers versus Patrick Corbin. Maybe Rogers figured it out. I think I'm going to do a little sprinkle on the Orioles here because this Rangers team just so frustrating. Royals and Mariners, I will be on that Royals underdog money line with Waka on the mound going against George Kirby, who just continues to have issues. Giants, Diamondbacks, nothing for me in that one, just to stay away. I don't want to do anything with Ryan Nelson. Thank you, as always, to you guys for being here, interacting with the show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.